everybody, Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show. Midweek edition. It is middle of June as well, June the 15th. And Tom, it looks like we've got one more run. I hope it's only one more run at the post 110 temperatures. We've got that tomorrow.
Yes, we have an excessive heat warning for tomorrow.
Heat warning for about 12 hours
and
tomorrow.
It is officially by the calendar the first day of
the monsoon. We talked about
who's
that
decided to
yesterday.
Be fashionably late and come in Friday evening, apparently.
Well, that's still when the rains come, I hope Friday night it will still be early.
The National Weather Service is saying a 50% chance
that's
by
good,
Saturday.
50% chance. And we spent a whole half hour on the show yesterday with our climate scientist saying he thinks it could be a pretty good summer rain event. And that's really what we need. It's been so dry. The Buckmaster Show, in our 12th year now already, we are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. For the first half hour of the show, we're going to be talking about Tucson Parks and Rec. After all, it is summer. People, kids are off and looking for stuff to do. We're going to tell folks a little bit about some of the programs offered by Tucson Parks and Rec. With me in studio, Lara Hamway is with us. Lara is the Parks and Rec Director for the City of Tucson. She took over effective January of 2021. So, Lara, that would be about a year and a half you've been in the position.
Yes, that's correct.
Something like that. You spent nearly 20 years in the city of Miami, Florida, in their Parks and Rec department. And most recently, when you left Miami, you were the director of that operation. How would you compare the Tucson Parks and Rec portfolio with what you had there in the city of Miami?
Well, certainly what comes to mind, the first thing that comes to mind is you're talking about coastal versus desert. So it's been a learning curve for me in that regard. But also here in Tucson, we have significantly more acreage of parks, 3,300 acres versus their 1,400. And I think also it's about the way people use their parks. They're definitely more birding here and outdoor use and appreciating it in the winter months. So, but I love it so far, and I think it's great, and I continue to learn about our park system.
I was very surprised talking with you in kind of our pre-show interview today. And Tom, on the other side of the glass, Tom, put your headset on. Got a little trivia question for you. Tom, how many beach parks would you think that Lara was in charge of there in the city of Miami in their Parks and Rec department?
Would that include Miami Beach or
no,
just Miami proper?
No, it does not
proper?
Include Miami Beach. Okay.
Well, then one.
You're right. One. People would think, oh my gosh, they must have a lot of beaches. But no, Tom, you're right. You get some kind of a prize.
Well, I lived several years in Florida, so
you did live
I have to reveal that. Yeah.
Okay, so that gives you a little bit of a head start. Lara, about the portfolio, I looked this up before your interview. I was very surprised that we have as many parks in your portfolio. I had no idea it was 131.
Yep, 131 parks across the city. And some of them are small and some of them are quite large, like Columbus or Kennedy or Reed. So I find that quite interesting, and I love the diversity that we have here.
Some of the parks look like they're not even a block long.
That's correct.
Yeah.
I definitely would say that there's no underestimating the value of what a park can be. Just a pocket park for itself with a bench, a water fountain, a place for people to gather is just as important in my mind as something that is as large, that could be multiple acres, that has a lot of different amenities.
How about this summer? We have 10 swimming pools that you will have up and running, which is what, about half of the available pools?
Correct.
So the issue has been staffing, hasn't it?
Yeah, we've definitely run into an issue coming out of the pandemic where for 2 years, a lot of our normal activities to certify, train folks, we lost a lot of the resources that we typically would be tapping into. So we started in December with our recruitment efforts, but it certainly has lagged. And we've been trying to put a lot of imagination and efforts towards how do we get more folks on board so we can get more pools open.
You are still hiring.
We are. We are going to be doing continuous hiring every month and offering training every month to certify folks because there is a commitment, not just now in the summer months to get additional pools open, but also to retain and make sure that we have reliable hours through the year because we do have some year-round pools as well.
Lara Hamway is with us. She is the City of Tucson Parks and Rec Director. So the programs generally, what kind of programs are you offering for the kids this summer?
So the biggest program that we offer in the summer is our KidCo summer camp experience. Those happen at school locations as well as recreation centers. We also, what I love is we have two kind of like future leader programs. We have what we call the in-betweeners, so those 12, 13, 14-year-olds. And then we have junior staff in training, which allows us to start introducing the teens into the idea of working for us as a part-timer in the summer. And then my dream would be that they say, hey, this is such a cool job. Let's make it a career. So we've also got that going on, as well as like leisure classes and Summer Palooza every Wednesday from 5 to 7. And if you go to our website, you can see which pool will be doing those activities.
Just Google City of Tucson Parks and Rec and all that will come up?
Yes, that is correct.
How many students and young people do you think that are going to use the services? Thousands, I would assume. Is that
accurate? Yeah, I think we're definitely 2,000 to 3,000 that we touch in terms of a program, an experience, a class, an event through the summer months.
Let's go back to kind of the general footprint of those 131 parks. What kind of condition overall would you say that the parks are in?
How would you rate
our parks compared to, say, other cities, medium-sized cities in the United States? Are we underserved with parks or what?
I definitely think that there is room for us to grow our inventory. You know, the city of Tucson is expanding. You know, we have new population moving in. We're expanding residential to the south and to the west. And so it is important for us to always keep an eye on the opportunity to acquire more land, because as the population grows, then that's the demand increases on our parks. I think overall, in terms of our inventory, we have a very good inventory. Thanks to Prop 407, we're reinvesting in that inventory right now. But I definitely would be an advocate for us to increase the number of acres that we have in our system.
Prop 407 was a very successful bond program that the voters in the city of Tucson back in 2018 said, pretty much overwhelmingly said, we want to invest in our parks. Tell us about what that program encompasses.
So I look at that program under two lights. One, which is repair and renovate existing amenities, but also adding and installing new amenities for our residents to enjoy. So what does that look like? That can mean taking a pool and replastering the deck and the shell, replacing a slide that's existing there. And then what does new mean? New is, for example, at Purple Heart Park, we just opened a new splash pad. Udall, we got another splash pad open right before summer started. So it's new amenities to enhance that recreation experience that people have when they visit a park.
How about the condition of the ball fields?
So the ball fields themselves.
And the soccer field.
Yeah, soccer, softball, baseball. We know that historically we've done not a great job on maintenance. This year alone, we created 3 ball field maintenance crews to start getting them in better shape. And we actually pulled a summer crew together to do aerification. That's a pretty big focus of mine because I know we have a high volume of youth and adult sports activities, and we need to bring those fields back up into playable condition. And also show confidence also in the youth programs that are occurring that they can have a playable, safe space for those activities.
It's a challenge because of our climate with some of this, getting the turf ready.
Yes, yeah.
You used a word there, aerification?
Aerification.
What is that?
So basically, it's a system where we're poking holes in the ground.
Oh.
I mean, I'm just simplifying it.
Mm-hmm.
To allow the roots of the grass to be able to expand.
Mm-hmm.
That gives them better root health, and then allows long-term for them to green up and to create a better root system that sustains heavy play.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about a kid wearing cleats and the cleats are poking the ground,
sure.
That's ripping up turf. So
yes.
The more we can do to add to turf health, mm-hmm. is us doing what we need to do to make sure that that turf is ready for that type of play.
Where is the water coming from?
So it depends. We use potable water, but also reclaimed water. A good example of a unique opportunity that we have is over at Reed. We take recycled water from the zoo, it goes into one of the ponds there, and then goes and pumps into our irrigation systems. So we have a lot of different parks with different water setups in terms of how we water the grass.
When we continue with Lara Hamway, we'll talk about the future of Tucson's kind of our central park, Reed Park. And there's a lot of focus on what will that park look like in, say, 10, 15 years? Future planning for Reed Park. Anybody has a question for Lara, the number, the live line number, 790-2040, and we will get you on the air with your question. The Buckmaster Show. One of our great sponsors is Mona's Danish Bakery, my favorite bakery in town, home of the Danish Kringle. They are located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, and they are open right now for lunch. Steve, the owner, and his team, they open the door at 6:30 in the morning, and people are waiting for that door to open so they can get in there and get their pastries, get their coffee. And when you get into Mona's, one of the big challenges is, my goodness, it all looks so good. What am I in the mood for today? I think I would go with the chocolate croissant right about now. That Tom gave me a big thumbs up on the other side of the glass. He could go for that. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. They have some beautiful pictures of pretty much everything on the menu. Check it out. More about Tucson Parks and Rec after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bonvoyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. Lara Hamway is with us. She is the City of Tucson Parks and Rec Director. And I should have asked you, Lara, about when we're talking about Mona's Danish Bakery. You just shared with me, and it's too good just to not let the listeners know. You're a big fan of Mona's, right?
I am a very big fan of Mona's. I love the crinkle, but I also love how much of they have of marzipan desserts.
Whoa. Very good. I wanted to get that in there. Steve, there you go. If Steve's listening, the owner and chief baker, you've got another fan here in the Buckmaster Show studios, which are, of course, the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We love Green Things. They're 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. They have so many beautiful green, lovely flowering plants that are just waiting, like all of us, for the summer rains to begin. So now would be a great time. Get them in the ground, then we'll get a little rain here, hopefully, in a couple of days. Green Things, 13-acre site, also home to Zocalo Village, some beautiful Talavera pottery from Mexico, other beautiful imported items from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Additional support for the Buckmaster Show comes from our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Makes a great summer getaway. It's only about a 3-hour drive east of Tucson, and we like to play around with what we call the Buckmaster Show Guarantee. Well, what is that? Well, the guarantee is it will be cooler in Silver City by about 10 degrees because they're at about a mile high elevation. Like right now, we're looking at 89 degrees. Not bad at all at midday over in Silver City. And their forecast looks like in the mid-80s, lows actually around 60. Can't beat that for the overnight lows this time of year. Check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org. We continue now with our conversation with Lara Hamway, City of Tucson Parks and Rec Director. What is this about? We're hearing about the Reed Park planning effort that's going on, Lara.
So we, in May, launched a Reed Park master plan process. It's a commitment that we made to the neighbors. They really advocated for us to look at intentional planning. What's the future of the park? The park is beautiful, and it's known as the central park for the city. At least that's what I hear frequently. But we have a lot of different voices and people that feel very passionately about what direction we should be taking it in. So if anybody wants to get on a contact list and participate in upcoming surveys, all they have to do is Google Reed Park Reimagined, and there you can see some of the efforts that we've done already. We just closed out a survey at the end of May, and now the designers are looking at different concepts to come back to the community in July, August, and start and continue with conversations about what's the vision for Reed Park.
How large is Reed Park?
Oh,
you know, were afraid I'd ask that.
I was like, well, I don't remember off the top of my head. I know it's more than 10 acres, but it's an amazing park because of how many features it has. The Rose Garden, you have the OPC, the Demeester Performance Center.
You got the Reed Park Zoo.
The Reed Park Zoo.
A wonderful partner on our show. In fact, we're having our every other month Reed Park Zoo update tomorrow on the program, talking with one of the folks that try to keep the animals as cool as possible. Imagine, you know, it's a challenge in the summertime. So we'll be doing our Reed Park Zoo update. So you do have a lot of amenities there at Reed Park, but there's a lot of upkeep as well.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of upkeep, a lot of maintenance that we need to do to make sure that it stays cleaned and that it's safe and available for folks to enjoy.
What are some of the ideas? I know this is still a work in progress, but what are some of the things that have been they've been proposed and just people are kind of thinking outside the box with Reed Park?
So what I can talk about is some of the comments that we got in the survey, which people really would like to see more of a desert landscape demonstration. You know, a lot of people love the Rose Garden, but would love to be able to see us also look at how do we facilitate more birding. Apparently it is a popular spot for those who like to bird, but then also gathering spaces, maybe additional ramadas, an opportunity for people to work out in the park. We got quite a laundry list of things that people would love to see. And now what the consultants will be doing is looking at what's actually feasible, what makes sense, and then being able to bring those concepts back for folks to provide additional feedback on.
You know, we talked earlier, Lara, about young people and their utilization of the parks, especially in summer. Let's talk a little bit about older people and seniors and what type of things are available and amenities for seniors. Because the parks, and I'm thinking of one in particular that I've used, and I know a lot of people like to walk in the indoor track, especially this time of year. I'm thinking of the Udall Park Center. But let's talk a little bit about seniors.
So we have about 7 locations that we classify as a senior center, which means we have day program activities. We partner up with PCOA for a meal program, but we also have drop-in. So as you just talked about, indoor tracks, our weight rooms, opportunities to socialize. And in January, we do the Senior Olympics, which is amazing. I believe we average about 900 participants in that program, and we do so many different sports. This year, I think the oldest participant was 94 in shuffleboard.
Wow. Cool.
So I'm really proud of what we do for active, and I like to call them active adults. I'm not a big fan of the word senior, because I think if someone's active and they're enjoying the park, then I think senior sometimes has a negative connotation that I don't embrace.
And this was a difficult time for everybody during the pandemic. The facilities were closed for a while. Is everything up and running?
Yeah, so we're back 100%. Even our capacities are at 100%. So you have senior activities, kids activities, drop-in. You know, a lot of our indoor basketball courts are also frequently used this time of year because it's cooler to play with your friends and shoot hoops. And I think what's really important and mindful, too, of our staff is even though we were closed during the pandemic, when it came to the seniors, we actually participated with PCOA to deliver meals. I think the last count was 80,000 meals that we helped to deliver using our staff since our facilities weren't open to make sure that we were shoring up those that really needed that service.
We're going to have the mayor with us on the program next Tuesday, and I'm sure one of the areas she always likes to talk about this is planting trees. And people think of trees, they think of parks, and I'm wondering how is the Parks and Rec Department fitting into this vision that the mayor has?
So the Million Trees program certainly does touch parks in many ways. We've had a number of locations that we've done tree plantings, which I think is really great is also Tucson Clean and Beautiful has assisted, partnered up with us. So we'll have our irrigation team that'll lay the foundation of water supply because we've learned you need that first 3 guaranteed years of water. And then we partner up with the neighborhoods as well to actually do the plantings in the park. And I think it's just great. Everybody feels really good about the investment of the trees, but they're part in that investment, which is contributing to the future shade canopy.
And you want to plant the trees at a certain time of year, I would assume, right?
The ideal time would be October through maybe late April. And that's mostly because as the ground gets hotter, it's harder for those roots, those baby roots, to start expanding into the ground. So yeah, we recommend, though some people will say a good time to plant a tree is every day. Mm-hmm. But realistically, what we try to recommend is looking at late fall and late spring.
Yeah, I was just thinking about Reed Park and some of the big trees that did come down during last year's very robust, productive monsoon. I think you know the trees I was talking about. Some really big ones we lost, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, always an issue in the summer rainy season.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't realize how heavy water is on branches and leaves, and if the trees are not used to continuously kind of tolerating that kind of weight, it can start to shock them and stress them out. That's why it's so important that we are prioritizing also our tree maintenance, trying to increase our program for annual pruning and making sure that they're healthy so that when we get these monsoons, which, you know, quite frankly, I hope we do get a lot of rain again this year, that the trees are able to better sustain that.
Yep, we get some big winds, certainly, with the rains. Lara Hamway, thank you very much, Lara, for coming in. And again, if people want more on Tucson Parks and Rec, probably just Google City of Tucson Parks and Rec. We'll get you there. Thank you very much. Great meeting.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
All right. We'll take a break right here midway through the Buckmaster Show. Be right back in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio. CBS Network News, an update is coming up. Yes, interest rate. They did do the rate hike. Looks like 0.75%. That we'll hear all about it probably right now. Then we'll be back in a few minutes.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. For more than 30 years, Tucson-based Watermark Retirement Communities has been at the forefront of the American seniors housing market. Watermark is now the ninth largest senior housing operation in the United States, managing more than 70 assets in 22 states, including Arizona. Watermark has 5 properties here in Tucson, in the Tucson area, Watermark at Oral Valley, the Fountains at La Cholla, the Hacienda at the Canyon, the Hacienda at the River, and the Watermark at Continental Ranch in Marana. Joining us is Troy Holler. Troy is the National Marketing Director for Watermark, and he brings a unique combination of creative and analytical experience to his role with diverse experience in healthcare, technology, and the media. Troy, good to have you on the program.
Thanks so much, Bill. It's great to be here.
You know, Watermark started here in Tucson. A couple of gentlemen back in the 80s had the vision. We'll call them the two Davids. You can tell us who those two Davids are, but they had this vision for taking kind of housing for seniors to the next level, didn't they?
That's absolutely right. Yeah, David Freshwater and David Barnes, 30 years ago, started the Fountains at La Cholla, which is our flagship community, mm-hmm. Their original community. And their objective then is the same as it is now, which is to create extraordinary and innovative communities where people thrive, which, of course, at the time was very different from everything else that was happening in the industry. And
yeah, like with Sun City was kind of like one of the pioneers, the post-World War II kind of retirement concept. This that Watermark and the two Davids brought together was a really different concept.
Yes, absolutely. And the you know, many of the senior housing communities at the time and still today are not really run with the same vision that Watermark is. Watermark is really, you know, engaged in ensuring that its residents and associates, in fact, can thrive. And they do that by, you know, with everything from food to health services and wellness initiatives and experiences that enable folks to kind of craft their own day. So you really can sort of live your life based on what you want to do. And I have to say, our communities are filled with really interesting people who are living full, rich lives. You know, we've got journalists who covered Watergate. I just learned yesterday of an Oscar-winning actor who is about to move into one of our communities. And so we just have this incredible diversity and, you know, so many interesting things that people can do and just live these lives where they're thriving.
And these programs that you have, I mean, a wide range of programs, everything from a virtual reality type of a vacation, activities, equine, horse-related activities. You have kind of an extra care program that's very fascinating called NIAS. Mm-hmm. That's for folks that need a little extra care, but they get special treatment.
That's right. The NIAS are part of our Thrive Memory Care program, and it's a really different approach to memory care. Folks who live in our memory care communities live essentially side by side with those NIA caregivers, conducting sort of the daily activities that one would in any household. So the NIAS really are sort of part of their family. Naya in Sanskrit means guide, and that really is sort of the philosophy that underlies how we do memory care.
And that is at all 5 of your properties?
Yes, we do have. Yeah, that's right. Okay. We have Thrive Memory Care at all 5 of the local properties. The Watermark at Continental Ranch and the Watermark at Oro Valley both offer assisted living and memory care. Mm-hmm. And then the Fountains at La Cholla, Hacienda at the River, and Hacienda at the Canyon also offer independent living. So they're independent living, assisted living, and memory care.
There's also something called Watermark University. You talked about there's some very prominent people who have had very prominent careers that are in your communities. These people and their knowledge is utilized at Watermark University.
Yeah, that's right. That's a nationwide program that we run, and each community programs its own Watermark University courses, and essentially that it comprises residents and associates and often resident family members teaching these courses. And so the courses, you know, they can range from conversational Mandarin to we have had a bus driver teach floral arrangement to, you know, folks who have been professors in universities who teach courses in history or whatever. It really sort of runs the gamut, the subject matter, and it really makes it, you know, interesting for residents too.
Horses are wonderful therapy, and I wanted to talk a little bit more about the equine program. Which of the facilities is that available at?
Yeah, that's at the Hacienda at the River, and that is it's a beautiful program where the horses are brought in to the community. They're not actually stabled at the community, but they're brought into the community a few times a week, and the residents engage with the horses, and the horses sort of, you know, walk around the premises and interact with the residents. So, and it's just, you know, such a lovely, there's so much science behind interactions between people and horses, and it really is a sort of a therapeutic endeavor for those residents.
How has your industry changed? We mentioned kind of the whole vision that David Barnes and David Freshwater had back in the 80s, but how has the business changed?
Yeah, in many ways, you know, a lot of the business has sort of caught up to what we've been doing, and which is great, right? We love to see that other operators and owners want to be doing the same kind of work that we're doing. And so one of the things that has really changed, especially in the most recent decades, is the use of technology and the proliferation of technology in our communities. And so we've got new communities coming online now that are using smart technology, like the smart home technologies to create kind of connected living spaces. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we have this program called Engage VR, which is a virtual reality program.
How does that work? I mean, how do you take a virtual reality trip?
Yeah, well,
let's go to Italy, put on a headset, right?
It's funny you mentioned that. Actually, we recently did an event at a community where that's exactly what we did. They took a trip to Italy, and we served a meal around it, and it was a wonderful event. So virtual reality is essentially, you know, we have installed headsets and monitors in the communities that are doing our Engage VR program, we call it, and it enables residents to have experiences inside the community that are as if they're experiencing it outside the community, and it allows them to travel or see places or experience things that they wouldn't otherwise be able to do. And I mean, there's so many wonderful stories around this. David Barnes loves to tell the story of a resident who put on the VR headset and wanted to go to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And as he was watching experiencing it, he began to describe the number of steps that the soldier takes as passes from one side to the other, and then how he changes shoulders of the firearm, and it just like a very and tears came to his eyes, just such a moving experience. So these really can be incredible experiences for the residents.
Troy Holler, what if someone is interested in perhaps transitioning? They've lived in the home where the kids were raised, and they want to think about maybe changing in a different direction. What's the best way to go about doing that, Troy?
That's a great question. The best way is probably to Google us, right?
Right. And just Google, you know, Watermark Retirement Communities.
That's right. If you Google, or you could go to watermarkcommunities.com. And we do, if you're local based here in Tucson, then it's highly likely that the results will come up that are sort of for the communities that are closest to you. Mm-hmm. So,
And then someone would be available to talk about the whole transition.
That's right.
Troy Holler, a pleasure. And again, I want to mention your five properties. I'm sure many of our listeners have gone by them and they've wondered about them. And they're all go back to really the 80s with the kind of the flagship of all of this. And that would be the Fountains at La Cholla. And then there's the Watermark at Oro Valley, the Hacienda at the Canyon, the Hacienda at the River, and the Watermark at Continental Ranch in Marana. Google it, watermarkretirement.com or
watermarkcommunities.com.
Watermarkcommunities.com. Troy, a pleasure to meet you. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Bill.
All right, we'll take a break right here. More on the Buckmaster Show right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. The CPA firm of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, founded 1984, has now been acquired by a Tucson-based CPA firm called Profitopia LLC. With us now in studio, CPA Michael C. Flowers, who is the CPA for the Buckmaster Show and a very good friend of our program. And Kevin Marshall joins us, CPA and owner of Profitopia. Kevin and Michael, good to see you guys.
Hey, great to see you. Thanks for having us. Michael,
tell me a little bit about this acquisition.
Well, it's exciting for our firm and what it brings to our clients. Profitopia is going to be a national organization. Ultimately, they're acquiring CPA firms. They're acquiring one in Florida as well. So we'll be able to add more services and service our clients better. And as you know, Bill, I'm not getting any younger, so it's time to transition.
Me either.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
And Kevin, the whole concept with Profitopia, how did the name come about, and what are you thinking about this acquisition?
Great question. Yeah. I don't know if I can divulge this to okay. your listeners, yeah. but I will.
Okay.
I like to go to restaurant bars and drink. Not drink heavily, but just right. drink. And I brainstorm and take notes. And I was maybe
you were
like
having a couple of adult
beverages.
Yes.
And I was doodling, and the name Profitopia, this is about 5 or 6 years ago, uh-huh. popped into my head, and uh-huh. I Googled it.
Yeah.
Guess how many pages on Google came up?
How many?
One. Uh-huh. So wow. I knew I was onto something if yeah. only one page came up. So I licensed, and now I own the rights to that name and mm-hmm. Profitopia.com.
Uh-huh. And you've been a CPA for a long time.
Not as long as Mike.
Yeah. getting close, though.
I'm yeah. catching up to him. 35 years as a CPA.
And
yes.
so you're a guy from back east, right?
From back east, Connecticut.
Yeah, and you actually were telling me before we went on that you were kind of the money guy for some radio stations.
Some radio stations. Yeah. Yeah, I love radio.
Yeah. So
I have a good radio voice too. Don't
you do,
I?
You do, you do. In fact, so what is Profitopia? What's your vision for this deal?
So great question. Okay. It would be to like Mike said, we bought our first firm two weeks ago. Has it been 2 weeks?
June 1st.
So 2 weeks. We're buying our next firm in Florida.
Was Michael's
in another 2 weeks.
Group the first one? Then
he was the first one.
Okay. So
yep.
okay.
Buy another firm in Florida in 2 weeks. So uh-huh. my staff is ready to revolt, right? Because they're inundated with work at the moment. Mm-hmm. But the we're raising money to be able to acquire more firms across the U.S. And the vision is to have a national CPA firm that caters to small and mid-sized businesses,
mm-hmm.
because you have the large CPA firms out there that sure. cater toward the Fortune 500.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got, should I even mention who? H&R Block.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, right? And that's it.
Or how about that person that stands out on the corner?
Liberty.
Liberty?
with the Statue of Liberty. But so that's interesting.
So I've worked with small business owners.
So, Kevin, I hadn't really thought about a franchising, smaller, mid-level CPA firms that deal with small businesses, like my own small business.
There you go.
So this is something.
And you're a client.
Yeah, I am. So this is something that you, when did the whole idea then come about for Profitopia?
A couple of years ago.
Yeah.
There's three partners besides myself. Mm-hmm. Carl Gould is a management consultant from mm-hmm. outside the city, the mm-hmm. city, right? Near,
yeah.
Call it the city.
Yeah,
Mike's
from
the city.
Yeah.
From New York City. He has a global consulting firm, has about 40 employees.
He's one of our partners. So you got three.
Three. And the third partner is Darren Jacklin. He lives in Vancouver, and he sits on the board of EXP Realty. And the fastest growing real estate company in the world. They're up to 70,000 agents, and he helped take them public.
Hmm.
So it's not just me. You know, there's mm-hmm. three of us involved. But I forgot. There was a question there, and I totally.
Oh no! I just
or was there?
You know,
oh yeah, the vision or all,
the vision
how it came.
Or how you know how?
So the
how
three
many
of us,
would you like to? How many firms?
Hundreds.
Like hundreds of firms, like yeah. Flowers
Rieger.
Rieger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now a big question for those of us who have been clients for Michael Flowers. So what happens to the existing clients, Michael?
Well, they're going to stay. You know, Tim and I are on an employment contract.
Tim
and
Rieger.
We're not.
Yeah.
When we sold the firm, we sold the assets. But Tim and I and all our employees were anxious and are working for Profitopia and will continue to work. So there'll be that. Smooth transition. We're using the same software, same phone number, same client contact. Our emails will eventually change, but those people that have my current email will just go to the Profitopia email. So it's different, but the same at the Flowers Rieger level, but at the Profitopia level, I think that brand and what it does nationally will be a well-known brand at some point in the not-too-distant future, and there'll be more and more.
The name Flowers Rieger goes away, or do you keep that?
We keep the entity alive to pay some bills and do some tax returns, but the CPA practice is now done under the name of Profitopia, and our tax returns will be signed by Profitopia. Clients will pay Profitopia. And then Tim and I are employees of Profitopia, and we'll continue on with the firm for as long as we want. And I, as will Tim, we have our favorite client, you being one of them.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're just saying that.
Thank you.
No, but I'm saying you know, we'll stay in touch. We'll make sure you're in good hands.
Yeah.
And myself, as you know, Bill, if anything ever came up 5 years from now, Mike, I need to talk to you.
Yeah,
I'm certainly available, more than happy to talk. And
how do the folks get a hold of you still, Mike? The same way?
Phone number, same email, same address.
Uh-huh.
And Profitopia is ultimately going to buy our building, and we'll have their name on the building, but that's going to happen in the next 60 days or so.
For right now, if someone wants to get a hold of you, and I hope they do, for your services, they could just Google Michael C. Flowers, CPA, right. And that would be the best
if
way
they
to
remember
do.
Profitopia, again, it's a new word, but Flowers, if you do Michael Flowers, there's a lot of... put the Michael in. If not, you'll get 1-800-FLOWERS. But under Michael Flowers, you'll see me. And our phone number, just to blast it one time, is 520-327-8706. It's been the same number since 1984. This is a 38-year venture with the firm. And I was a CPA for 8 years before that. So since 76... I've been in the accounting profession, a CPA, since 78, so this is my legacy, if you would, and I'm very proud, and I'm very pleased to continue in it as opposed to, you know, just retiring. We have no place for our clients to go, so this is a great landing spot.
Great.
And we're looking forward to really nice things for our clients.
So, Kevin Marshall, one of the three owners of Profitopia. How difficult is this? Now, you've got your first acquisition. I think you said you've got two now. And you said to me, when I asked you, how many do you want? You said, like, hundreds. How are you going to raise the money for all this? This has got to be a big, big deal.
So it is. We've already raised a couple of million so far.
Okay.
First and foremost.
How do you raise a couple of million dollars?
So it's kind of interesting. Yeah. We have our partners have raised money first. And then we have a broker. He's been raising money using life insurance. It's interesting. So he is heavily into the life insurance market. So he's finding individuals have cash value in their life insurance policies, and they loan the money to us at a higher rate than they're earning in their life insurance policy. It's really, really sexy.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, I did write a book, and I failed to bring it with me. I'll go one after the show is over. I'll bring you a signed copy. But it's called Tax Credits Are Sexy, and it's on one of the tax credits, the employee retention credit. But anyway, so I find financial services to be sexy, right? I mean, how cool is that? That somebody who has excess cash and in a life insurance policy can actually loan it somewhere and get more or earn more interest on that money.
And I have to say that both of you don't fit the profile of the typical CPA.
Thank you.
I say that is both of you are very transparent. Not that CPAs aren't transparent, but you're transparent in that you're sitting behind a microphone and you're very comfortable, both of you, behind a microphone.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm an author. I do public speaking.
But
I love it.
You understand where I'm going with that, because the typical... Michael, typical stereotype of a CPA are not that communicative type of people.
It's the green eye shades back in the day, or the pencil in the pocket.
The pocket protector, right?
But no, I'm an entrepreneur, and Kevin's an entrepreneur on steroids and wants to do, he's younger and he has more ambition.
Yeah.
And God bless him, and we just hope it's super successful.
Okay, we're going to have to wrap it up. So, Michael, same way to reach you through your
same name, same
offices.
Email.
And then Profitopia.
Yeah, we have a sexier.
You got
of course,
a website.
Another theme. We have a sexier telephone number, 888 PRtopia.
Oh, very cool.
And we also have 888 ERC Expert, too, for our ears.
What's Profitopia? You know the Profitopia? Numbers? No, the numbers.
I don't.
All right. Well, you Google Profitopia.
I'm not a numbers guy.
All right. All right, gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
Good luck to both Kevin and Michael C. Flowers. All right, that'll do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Kevin Marshall and Michael C. Flowers, Bill Buckmaster saying, have a great afternoon.